You just tuned into The Blitz, a Pittsburgh Steelers fan podcast presented by SteelCityBlitz.com. Real Steelers talk for hardcore fans. All right, Steeler Nation, welcome to The Blitz, a Pittsburgh Steelers fan podcast presented by SteelCityBlitz.com. My name is Matt. That is Mark. What in the world is going on today, dude?
Dude, that song is going on. I feel like I'm ready to go run through the streets with Rocky, man.
our special guest, who we will get to in just a second here, specifically requested that on Twitter today, and I could not resist because... I was going to put on I Hate Myself for Loving You, but this one's probably just about as good, if not better. So with that, we will get right to, I can't even say without laughing, to our guest, a good friend of the show and a friend of yours and mine for a long time, Dom from Trib Live. What is going on, man?
Gentlemen, we're not indestructible. Better get that straight, you know. They're 0-4, and they're not looking good at all, and there's a lot of problems with this team, and we're going to obviously discuss them. In terms of me, I'm doing great. Life's good, and living the dream, and I'm here on the podcast with you guys talking some Steelers. It's not good talk, but, you know, we're going to have a lot of fun today.
Absolutely, absolutely. So before we get going, tell everybody what you are up to now.
Well, I'm still covering the Pittsburgh Power for PittsburghSportingNews.com. That's my main gig right now. Doing some voiceover commercials for the Power. Finally got my first paid voiceover gig, which was kind of cool. And last season, one of the games, Bubba, the regular PA announcer, was out of town, so they asked me to fill in and got a lot of great feedback from them, from the team on that one. And also, I've apparently caught the attention of some people in the Pittsburgh Penguins organization. So who knows, maybe down the road there may be opportunities there. But just in the last year, I've really noticed a lot of things picking up with the career, and I'm really hoping to just put the nose down and keep working away at it.
That is really, really cool. Congrats on the new Power and maybe new Pens announcing duties. So, yeah, that's really cool, dude. And, of course, everybody can find you on Twitter at Steel City Voice, just like always, right?
Right. Yeah, still there on Twitter. And I do little silly Vine videos now, Steel City Voice as well. And I also upload them to YouTube and just little stuff. You know, I've been watching people have a little bit of fun on there. And it's just, I call it things in an announcing voice, things that sound better in an announcing voice. You're stuck in traffic. Just imagine a voiceover guy going, "Congratulations, you're going to be fired for being late again." And you know, just silly stuff.
I like it.
And have some fun with it. So if you guys are bored, check that stuff out.
Love it.
That's cool. So, all right, Mark, what's going on, dude?
Oh, shit. Let's just get into this abortion. My God. This football team is 0-4. They don't have a problem. They have problems with an S. You know, the blame game is endless. You can start with the general management in terms of Kevin Colbert and the ability to scout talent, which obviously has eluded him and some of our scouts as well. You know, we've got first and second round draft picks on the offensive line that are not panning out. You got Ben, you know, playing his butt off, but then he makes, you know, mistakes, and you got a defense that suddenly forgets how to tackle. So it's never ending right now. This team is 0-4 heading into a bye week. So thank goodness we can't lose this week anyway.
I'm going to tell you right now, I think the main problem is the defense. I know you can look at this offensive line. They're giving up a lot of sacks. But the fact of the matter is this week they scored enough points to win this game. Yep. This defense is not stopping anybody. They're not tackling anybody. They're not getting any kind of pass rush whatsoever. I mean, where's Lamar Woodley? Where's Lawrence Timmons? Jason Worlds, I think, has been an absolute no-show. Why is Jarvis Jones not seeing more time in this thing? But there's no pass rush up on the defensive line either. And I know in a 3-4 defense you're supposed to suck up blocks, but they're not doing that either. Guys are getting through there and busting big runs. There's no tackling. This team misses Casey Hampton. This team misses Larry Foote, misses Keenan Lewis back there. None of the secondary guys are making plays, and there's no turnovers. And I think when you look at the bottom line, this team is not causing any turnovers, and that is a big reason why they're 0-4.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, 0-4 for the first time since 1968. I was listening to Guy Junker on Trib Live today for a couple minutes at work. He brought up a little stat that if you include the preseason, which take of that what you will, the Steelers have lost 13 of the last 15 games that they've played, which is just, I mean, clearly they are, to quote Ben Roethlisberger, the worst team in the league right now. And it's really, you know, I mean, everything you guys said so far is dead on right now. You know, I think a lot of people are talking about let's get back to basics and the tackling and all that. Well, you know, we are just coming out of September, the first month of the season, and, you know, the Steelers don't need to get back to basics. They need to have the talent, you know, I guess I should say the lack of talent is coming through. And the snowball effect of losing players over the years to injury or free agency or what have you is starting to catch up with them right now. And you're seeing a team with just not that much talent trying to do what they can, and they simply just can't. I mean, you know, I can't sit here and say that, you know, a Dick LeBeau team with you know, Keith Butler and Carnell Lake is not going to practice tackling every week. I mean, I know they are. They have to be. The fact is that when you have guys who are two or three steps off the play, who are running into each other, who are just, you know, not sure who's going where on what type of pass pattern coverage, it's all snowballing, Mark. And you just see these guys, and every time we face an offense, they have more playmakers on offense than we do on defense. And, you know, this whole thing of the Steelers, you know, are such a talented team, but they're just not playing well. I don't think they're that talented anymore, dude. I really don't.
Well, they're not. And look, too, you know, when Dick LeBeau's defense has the proper personnel, it's a good defense. But when it has very average talent, it becomes a less than average to poor defense. Because it exposes all of your weaknesses. I mean, you can play the corners 10 yards off when you have linebackers that are getting to the quarterback. But, I mean, we saw Cortez Allen playing. I mean, he was in another county there in London yesterday. I don't know if they call them counties or not, but what the hell. No. I mean, and they never adjusted to that. And at some point, you have to. You've got to come up with different stuff. And teams are just... They're on to Dick LeBeau. I'm sorry, the blitzes. I mean, you can see the same blitz coming over and over. There's very little creativity anymore. And I know he would be the first to tell you, well, that's because of the lack of personnel and talent. Well, you know, so what? If you're going to get beat, then go down swinging instead of taking punches.
And it's a matter of making plays when you have the opportunity to. Where would that game have gone if Ike Taylor holds on to both those interceptions? Where would it be if they recover that fumble that's just laying on the ground? And it's just like, fall on it. You know, it was one of the easiest fumbles to recover. It was, what, bouncing off three Steelers before the Vikings ended up recovering it. I'm just sitting there just watching, like, going, how? How did you not recover that fumble? And that's been the problem. Every opportunity that this team has had this year to make plays, to make a difference, they're just not getting it done. And on the opposite side of things, this offensive line can't stop anybody. I know SteelerAddicts.com, somebody was joking that Mike Adams has an injury to his eye or something and he's blind in it. Obviously, I think that's satire. But he looked blind out there. It's just like, how do you not see these guys that are perennial all-pros lining up against you and just go ahead. Destroy my quarterback. It's just like people just don't have their heads into the game. They're missing easy assignments. They're missing easy turnovers. And this team is just not talented enough to overcome that.
But yeah, you're exactly right. And I think in years past, there was enough talent at enough key positions, and the offensive line was just barely good enough, starter-wise or depth-wise, to be able to overcome, you know, a mistake here and there. And, you know, I think the offensive line is just such a complete disaster. I mean, Mark, yeah, you and I have talked about this I don't know how many times this year because it's such a topic of conversation. I mean, you know, the Steelers have 2 second-round picks on the line right now. They had Pouncey, who obviously is out now, but he was a first-round pick. Foster got hurt. He's arguably one of the better, reliable, consistent guys, if you can say that. But, I mean, Ben is just – he has no time at all. Mike Adams is a turnstile. And, you know, let me get your take. Earlier in training camp and preseason, the coaches were talking about maybe putting Adams on the right side and Gilbert on the left, and then they apparently didn't like that because it didn't work out, so they swapped it, and of course Adams is on the left, Gilbert's on the right. If they were to decide to switch that back now, is that going to do any good?
I it's not going to hurt because I don't think it could get any worse. I mean, Gilbert has looked marginally better the last couple weeks, whereas Adams, Adams reminds me of the kid that just lost his parents in Walmart. He stops in the middle of the aisle. He starts looking around for a few minutes after each play because he doesn't know if he completed the assignment properly or if he missed it. I went back and watched the first half today. I can't tell you how many times, and it wasn't just him, a guy broke through the line when it was basically five of our linemen on five Vikings defenders, and they still were getting guys into the backfield. I stopped counting after a while. So to me, yeah, Mike Adams is struggling. He's bad. He's just bad right now. But they're all not on the same page, and that is creating major problems in and of itself.
How much of that is coaching? Because you look at this offensive line over the last few years. When you had Russ Grimm here, even though you had some talent that wasn't as good overall on the offensive line, they were still getting the job done. And you look at last year with all the injuries and stuff, and yet it always seemed like they were getting solid to decent play out of the offensive line of all these scrubs. I thought Sean Kugler did a great job. But this year they switched to a new blocking scheme. It's clear as day that blocking scheme's not working, and it's just like maybe change things up. And as an offensive line coach, I think Jack Bicknell has to really take a look at this and say, what can we do different to make this basic, to make this simple for our guys to go? Like you said, you line up five guys, they got five guys. I think that's a pretty easy assignment, one-on-one, and do your best. Obviously, if you think somebody on the outside is getting a little bit better, maybe you try to double team that, use the running back to block a little bit more. But the main thing is, where are the adjustments from this team on defense, on offense? You're playing all off like that in the secondary, can't make tackles, and yet Troy's still up near the front of the line trying to stop the run. Guess what? You ain't stopping the run this year, so start dropping them back in coverage because that's how teams are trying to attack you. And you have to make adjustments because right now 0-4 is just nasty, and if they're not going to make adjustments, what's the point of watching this year?
Well, I tell you, and that's interesting too because – I read an article today, and for the life of me, I can't remember where I read it. I wish I could remember, but it talked about that the Steelers spent all offseason trying to devise ways to get Troy Polamalu back up close to the line to defend the run. So he's up there defending the run. Meanwhile, people are dropping passes on his left and right. And I think Greg Jennings is still running somewhere over in London right now, mm-hmm. dude, because, you wonder, Troy's up there stopping the run, but then, you've got Clark back there. Cortez Allen stunk yesterday. Ryan Clark can't find anybody to tackle right now, and the secondary is struggling right now, and then you've got William Gay who decides to punch the ball out sometimes and not tackle, and there's no real depth behind the starters. These guys just aren't playing well, and I mean, you're right. I think Carnell Lake is going to have to figure out a way to get Troy back into the passing lanes again and try and disrupt this, this passing fest that, I mean, when you make Matt Castle look like a world beater, there's something wrong here, and that's what the Steelers do.
That was frustrating.
It is. I mean, I saw so many tweets of, oh, I'm so glad Matt Castle's going to play, and I was tweeting out, don't be so surprised. The Steelers have a habit of making backups look like Pro Bowl players and stuff. So, Mark, I don't get why the Steelers never adjust. I don't understand what the problem is with this team other than it clearly to me is nothing else other than the riding the fine line of the salary cap and dropping a player here and there is catching up to him. And, for all the big names of, Woodley and Timmons and Polamalu and Clark and Kiesel, these guys just are, there isn't enough talent to overcome the deficiencies everywhere else.
No, and it is part of the cap issue. There's no doubt about it. When you are constantly tempting fate year in and year out along the edge there, and you're trying to fill, as they say, the round holes with square pegs, it's going to come back to get you. Now, I don't think anybody thought it would come back to get the Steelers kind of in this particular vein, but you look at somebody like Ryan Clark, and I think we all agree Clark had a really good year last year.
Oh, yeah, awesome.
Yes, most definitely.
Tackled well, coverage was good. I mean, probably as good as I've seen from him in his time in Pittsburgh. And these first 4 weeks, he's looked atrocious. And, I mean, been out of position several times, coming up and whiffing on tackles. I mean, I've seen the guy miss tackles before, but he's not even close on some of these. And to me, that's just effort, and that just reeks of a team that maybe is getting ready to throw the towel in. I just don't know because it's so uncharacteristic of them right now.
you know, you look at the salary cap issues, and you have to say your best paid players have to be your most productive players. Right now, Ben Roethlisberger, you know, his cap charge is $13.5 million. I don't think there's any debate, you know, the impact that he can have on this team. But you look at Troy Polamalu, who's second on the team. It's like, what are you really getting out of him other than every once in a while he jumps over the defensive line and times a snap? But I've seen him miss tackles. I've seen him, you know, miss his assignments, things like that. I don't see enough splash plays out of him. When's the last time we saw him get an interception? Ike Taylor's third on the team in terms of cap hit, and he's just not making any interceptions or plays. You know, he's there in coverage, and he might make the tackle or two, but you need your top corners to actually make interceptions every once in a while. Lamar Woodley's fourth on the team. Does he have any sacks this season? Heath Miller's fifth. You know, how much production are you going to get out of him in the future here? Because he's getting a little bit up there in age. You know, he's fought injuries to come back. Lawrence Timmons is sixth. He's not producing. Kiesel, seventh. Eh. Ryan Clark, eighth. I mean, these are the guys, you're looking at your top 10 in terms of your salary cap. Are you getting any kind of production out of any of them? That's why this team is where it is, because they're overpaid at this point for the production level that they're getting. This is what you deal with when you went for that that third Super Bowl back in 2010. They came up short, and now, you know, tough decisions need to be made. It's time to start looking at transitioning this team to the future. Start looking to rebuild. Some, you know, tough cuts are going to come in the offseason. There's going to be names that people are going to be like, oh, how can we get rid of this guy? Well, you know, you got to start paying the young players that are coming up. This team needs to start building for the future.
Well, you're exactly right. I think building with the future starts with draft picks. And I know, Mark, you and I have talked about Kevin Colbert before. And, you know, for all of the Timmons and Woodleys that he's brought in, there are countless players on this team that, you know, are drafted in the middle to late rounds that don't make the squad. And I think this team constantly misses on the mid to late draft picks. And, you know, you and I know that, you know, the James Ferriers and the Hamptons and all these Cowher players were not going to last forever. Now most of them are gone, and the rest will be gone within the next year or two. And the guys that they have brought in to step up just have not stepped up. You know, we saw cracks in the armor last year. You know, forget that whole number one defense ranking. That's a bunch of crap. We all know it is. Right. You know, it really is. You know, I mean, when push comes to shove in 2005, I'm just going to say that because, you know, I mean, you could count on somebody stepping up and making an interception, getting a sack on third down, doing something to get, you know, the offense the ball back, and then the offense finding a way with Ben to drive down. There's nobody on this team capable of doing that right now on defense, Mark. None.
No, you don't have a playmaker. I mean, you know, Chris Collinsworth can sit there on national TV and scream and holler all he wants about, you know, how wonderful it is to see Troy and the hair flying around. And yeah, you know what? He's healthy. He's as healthy as he's been in a long time. But if he is not creating turnovers and not making splash plays, then he's no better than any other average safety in the league. And this team just does not have playmakers. And I think Dom brings up a really good point, you know, as he listed, you know, those guys at the top of the salaries. you know, I think Kiesel, I think it's fair to say he's going to be gone. I think Ryan Clark, I certainly, after what I've seen the first four weeks, I wouldn't bring him back. He's going to be a free agent, 35 years old. He'd rather be on ESPN anyway. So, I mean, there is going to be some turnover, but the bigger issue, of course, who's going to fill those shoes? Because right now the guys that are there aren't getting it done.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you this right now. Sometimes you look at a defense, and it's amazing. Like, if you're missing a linebacker out of your four, suddenly the other guys do not look as good. You know, you take Harrison out of there, and he was able to generate some pass rush last year, even though he was injured. But now you take him out of there, Worlds is not generating the pass rush. It's a lot easier to double-team Lamar Woodley. Unfortunately, Woodley's not an elite, elite player that's able to generate pass rush on his own. He almost needs another great linebacker opposite of them, and then it's like, well, who do you defend? Because both can do enough coming in there. That's why I would like to see Jarvis Jones get into the lineup, because at least I've seen some plays out of him. Yep. In the limited time that he's been on the field. You know, get Jones out there. I think the Worlds experiment is over. But the other problem is in the middle. You know, Larry Foote's a guy that was very cerebral back there. He knew how to run defenses, call defenses to stop the opponent. And, you know, how big of an impact has his loss been on this defense? You know, he's basically was the on-the-field captain, in my opinion, calling the plays. And that's the thing we have to look at. Who are they already missing? They were missing players from the offseason that left. You know, Mike Wallace, James Harrison. Now you lose Pouncey, you lose Larry Foote on a team that didn't have enough depth to begin with. And this is what you're getting here, an 0-4. And unfortunately, you can't do much about it right now. But where this team drafts next year, that's going to be a make-or-break season for Kevin Colbert.
Oh, I think so as well. And before we transition into Tomlin, Dom, in your opinion, what is the chance that Mike Tomlin and or Art II, take your pick, would actually pull the trigger and fire Todd Haley mid-season if this continues and the Steelers are 0-5, 0-6, 0-7, or maybe 1-7 or something to that effect? Is there even the slightest chance on this earth that happens?
Well, I think there's a chance, obviously, of it, because you have to look at this team and say things have to change. I don't think Tomlin's going anywhere just yet. The dude has won some Super Bowls, you know what I mean? And he's had success in the past, and that's just not the Rooney way of doing that. Haley's been, pressuring Ben to try to change things around, and obviously Ben's not happy. He's your franchise quarterback, and if you can't keep him happy, he's just going to walk at the end of his contract, and then where's this team going to be at? And I just haven't seen enough results out of Todd Haley in his 2 years tenure here with the team. That's where I would start. I would start taking a look at that, say maybe just say, Ben, call your own plays at this point. Why can't Ben call his own plays? He improvises most of the time anyway. Just let him call. Let him run the no huddle. The team runs better in the no huddle. I don't understand the reluctance to use it. Is it like they're punishing Ben and say, no, we're going to do it our way and go from there? Let him be your best weapon. He's a future Hall of Fame quarterback. He's the highest paid player on this team. Start letting him run this team. And then, you know, if things aren't working his way, then you can turn around and say, then we're going to bring in an offensive coordinator and do it our way. But I would look at getting rid of Haley. And I hate to say it, though, the defense is the bigger problem. Maybe it's time to start looking at getting rid of LeBeau. And I don't know that I would exactly hire Kevin Butler as the replacement for him. It might be time to go outside the organization.
Well, yeah, you're exactly right, and I think Butler is a LeBeau protege through and through. So you wonder how much is going to change when he would eventually take over. I don't know that the Rooneys have the guts to fire Dick LeBeau. You know, I mean, no matter how you slice it, I mean, I'm not saying they necessarily should or shouldn't, but I'm not sure they have the guts, Mark, to actually pull the trigger and take a Hall of Famer and say, all right, your time is done.
Well, no. If they were going to get rid of anybody, we would have heard about it today. I really believe that,
right.
That today they would have had to have gotten it going today. They'll give the players a couple of days off. That's pretty standard when you go into the bye, and then they'll expect them back later this week and start getting at it. So if something was going to happen, it would have today. No, I Dick LeBeau will go out on his own terms. Yeah, he might get a little hand in the small of his back, shove out the door. If he doesn't leave when they want him to, but they're not going to make it an issue. And, of course, we know how badly they botched the quote-unquote retirement of Bruce Arians. Going back to something that Dom was alluding to, and I think this speaks of the major problem within the organization. I really think there are two factions right now, and I don't know who's on which side. I mean, I have my thoughts. But it's obvious to you, it's obvious to me, it's obvious to all of us, that this offense works when you get 12 tight ends off the field, you have Heath Miller and Le'Veon Bell on the field, or whoever at this point. They've scored the bulk of their touchdowns, as you said, running a no-huddle offense. Why, then, would you continue to try to go back and do what doesn't work and constantly find yourself behind in every game? It's like they say, definition of insanity. It drives me crazy. And I just don't know. I have to believe it's those factions, the one that says, by God, we're going to run the ball, I don't care, and the other one that says, we work better when we throw the ball. Something's not right in this whole formula.
Well, you just said it, because used to be this organization had one set way of doing things. They knew what they wanted to do on offense. They knew what they wanted to do on defense. They brought in the talent to fit those holes. Now it seems like, well, these guys want to do it one way. These guys want to do it another way. And look at the talent they're implementing on offense. Like you said, tons of tight ends. Marcus Wheaton finally sees the field, and I thought he made a few plays out there. He looks explosive. He looks like the type of player that it's like, why is he not seeing action? Why is Derek Moy inactive and you're starting 15 tight ends to try to block and all that? Start giving him some options down the field. You know, even if they go five wide and tell Ben, get rid of it in 2 to 3 seconds, you know, at least try something different. Spread them out so that they can't just rush you. You know, this is what I seem to remember the Patriots and the Raiders used to do against the Steelers. You know, start attacking teams down the field. Give Ben more options to throw it to. It just, it becomes almost like what we're seeing on defense. They line up five and they're just bull rushing right through, and the Steelers can't block that many people. If you start sending that many wide receivers out, odds are good one or two of them are going to get open and can start making plays. But Derek Moore, you know, is a 6'5" receiver down in the red zone. You know, why is he not on the active roster? Why is Marcus Wheaton, who's one of the fastest players on this team, why is he not seeing the light of day? Especially now that it's 0-4, it's time to start looking at these young guys and say, can they contribute to this team? Because the older guys, obviously, if they're on their way out, there's no point in sticking with them anymore. I mean, I like Jericho Cotri and all that, but you know he's going to keep getting some reps out there. But why isn't Wheaton or Moore getting more play in this offense?
All right, well, speaking of guys who are on the roster and we know and we have no idea why, Mark, let's go over to Tomlin's press conference. And you wrote an article about this today on the website, and it talks about when Tomlin was asked about the play of Mike Adams and why did Beecham not slide out to left tackle and then they insert Guy Wimper at left guard and get Mike Adams out for a while, give him a breather, change something up, whatever. And Tomlin's response was basically, well, we have nobody else that can come in and play at a high level, so we're stuck with what we got. So what does that say to you about the depth on this team, and what does that say to you about Tomlin's confidence in the guys he put on this roster and the guys that he has active on his offensive line in game day?
Well, what it tells me is, and I hate to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but what it tells me is that there's division amongst the coaching staff and the front office, because Mike Tomlin basically admitted a major coaching faux pas when he said, well, you know what, we just don't have anybody that would be up to the level preparedness to go in and play anyway. You know, I don't care what level of football you have, whether it's peewee kids, high school, college, it doesn't matter the talent level. You have kids ready to play if the guy in front of them gets hurt. They should
make
the plays. They know they know. And he admitted that, and that flat out told me he has no confidence in the depth, and he probably has no confidence in the people that have been brought onto this team that he's had to deal with. So again, I don't want to sound like the JFK second shooter guy, but there's something going on there where not everybody's on the same page. Because I mean, if Guy Wimper isn't ready, go throw him out there, because you got to teach Mike Adams a lesson that stuff just can't be tolerated. Granted, you want to save Ben Roethlisberger's life, but at this point, I think it's a jeopardy anyway.
Start suiting up a 500-pound statue, and then, you know, two people can just move it down the field and just leave them there, and at least something will get in the way of some of these guys. Mike Adams was an absolute turnstile the other day, but that's an insult to turnstiles, because they at least slow somebody down trying to get through them. But, you know, getting back to, like you said, Guy Wimper, here's a guy that made the roster, and a lot of fans out there were like, why is this guy even on the team? And in your opinion, obviously, it's like, well, he's on there for depth in case they need him. Mike Adams is stinking up the joint, and you don't put Wimper in. I remember when Pouncey got hurt and they moved Beecham in, but it was like, didn't they have Cody Wallace or somebody on the roster ready to go? It's like, why aren't you using him? You have wide receivers that aren't getting in to the game. It's like, why do you have these players on the roster if you're not going to play them? And you nailed it with the conspiracy theory. It's not a conspiracy theory. Look at certain people in upper management that said they want Todd Haley in there. They shoved Bruce Arians out the door, and look at what Arians has done in every other stop. You know, it's like that was obviously a major mistake, and Ben can't stand the quarterback. And what was the point of even bringing in another offensive coordinator to rein in Ben? Why would you want to rein in your best player on offense? He's your Hall of Fame quarterback that's been running this offense and has gotten you to two Super Bowls. Why would you want to change much in that? I can understand bringing in somebody and say, we're going to try a few different ideas, maybe change it up a little bit, but you're still going to call the plays. We're still going to put it in your hands. You know, and look at this. You've got your highest paid player in Roethlisberger. Do you bring in wide receivers to support him? Not too many of them. You don't bring in much of an offensive line, obviously, with bad talent. I can't say they didn't try, because they put first and second rounders in there, but they evaluated the talent so poorly at this point that now you're left with absolutely nothing on offense, and yet Ben still put up, what, 27 points the other day? He needs to make more plays. Don't get me wrong.
Yep.
Because I look back to, you know, in this losing streak here, you know, he's got 9 interceptions in 8 games dating back to last season. 7 of them are losses, and I'm not even counting the preseason game. How many times the mystique, the aura is gone with Ben Roethlisberger? He used to be that guy that would lead you down the field with the game on the line, and, you know, he was one of the best in the league early in his career. And when's the last time you've really seen him pull it off? Yesterday, as they're driving down the field, I'm even sitting there watching, going, why have I just got this sense of dread that something's going to happen? Boom, sack, fumble, and it's over. And you just sit there and go, ha, ha. You know, because all you could do is laugh about it because it's become the expected right now that they're going to shoot themselves in the foot.
Well, you're exactly right. And I think, yeah, the Big Ben mystique or the aura is long since gone now. He's got no confidence in anybody. I think the confidence in himself is shaken, at least in my opinion, even though he'll never admit it. I mean, when your star quarterback, the guy that you built this franchise around, who's taken you to Super Bowls, you know, and has won you a couple of them, is not happy, nothing's going to work. I mean, you know, if Ben's not happy, it doesn't matter what else is going on. You're not going to be successful. And I wonder, you know, you could see the chinks in the armor starting to come along here, you know, over the years, and it's snowballing now. Ben is yelling at receivers. He's talking about the Steelers being the worst team in the league. He's slamming his helmet down. And you're right, Dom and Mark, when I was watching that game yesterday, I watch Steeler games now expecting something bad to happen. And up until a couple of years ago, I expected Ben to drive down with a minute and a half to go and no timeouts and get us in the field goal range, or 2 minutes and, you know, score a touchdown or whatever. I literally expect this team to fall flat on its face and get in its own way, Mark, every time the game is on the line.
Well, you know, and the game that people point to where that mystique ended was of course, Super Bowl 45, when ironically, he's got the ball last, much like he did in Super Bowl 43. And everybody wanted to blame him, but his young receivers pretty much choked the chicken on that drive, and ran wrong routes and ended up with nothing and lost the Super Bowl. And since then, he has struggled. And I think I agree with you. I think his confidence has to be shaken. You know, he's compared to the top quarterbacks in the game, but you don't see a Tom Brady, a Peyton Manning, a Drew Brees, even a guy like Philip Rivers. You don't see these guys being thrown under the bus as you know, franchise quarterbacks. I mean, this guy has basically been told, well, you know what, we're going to break you down. You might be the guy we pay the most money, but we want to tweak your game and all this other stuff. And I think it's just destroyed him. I think he's a human being. I think he's just absolutely frustrated beyond belief, and it comes out in those situations. He just doesn't have that killer instinct anymore.
And it comes down to morale, because like you said, when your team leader is upset, you know, people can sense that, whether it's in the huddle, whether it's in practice, and people tend to feed off that type of stuff. That's where they talk about team chemistry. And if there's a little bit of poison in the mix, you know, it just spreads right through it really quickly, and it ends up exploding in your face. That's what happened with Steeler management right now. You wanted to tweak his game. You wanted to change things around. You want to focus on maybe drafting defense instead of offense. You don't want to get all the weapons in, and then the guys that you bring in are wrong, and it's just boom. You know what I mean? And, but it's just the play calling. It's like, what was it, 2 weeks ago, an end around. You put Cautry in there. He was one of your slowest players. At least yesterday they got it right. What do they ran with Brown? You know what I mean? Yep. And I was like, well, that's baby steps. That's something in the right direction. But how many times do we see screen passes like 12 yards short of the sticks? You know, Antonio Brown's a gifted playmaker, but, you know, that's still like the other teams are like, well, okay, we'll stop that. That's no problem. You know, start running to the sticks. I know you don't have all the time in the world because of the offensive line, but when's the last time Ben took off and ran for a first down? You know, he's just scrambling around waiting to get hit. You know, he's playing gun shy. He is not playing his game to the best of his ability, and he's making turnovers. I know there's people on Twitter I get into arguments with all the time, and their argument is that I must hate Ben and I want to see him traded. No, I want to see him play better, right. You know, and he's not immune to this. I mean, 4 turnovers last week, 2 turnovers this week, you know, how many interceptions, 9 interceptions in 8 games, and I can't find fumble stats online anywhere. I don't understand why not, but it's just like, how many turnovers is he responsible for since he got hurt last year? He's not the same quarterback. Something's not quite right. I'm not saying bench him, but I'm saying he's got to look at himself and say he's got to play better, which he has said and has admitted. But this is a total team effort right now. The offense is struggling. Yeah, they put up enough points this week. The defense is not scoring enough. It is not stopping anybody, and they're not getting any turnovers right now. And until they get a turnover, this team has no chance whatsoever.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, I'm so tired of the Ike Taylor is a shutdown awesome corner here because, you know, a shutdown corner, you know, the best corners in the league, when you get a gift interception in your hand or you got a chance to jump up and grab one, just hold on to the damn ball, Mark. I mean, honest to God, I mean, I love Ike Taylor. He's been around forever, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, how much, I mean, there's a reason this guy never makes the Pro Bowl. It's not because he can't cover, it's because he can't pick anything off. And let's face it, a cornerback or a DB's biggest stat asset, if you want to call it, is interceptions.
Well, Ike is a good corner, but as we've known since he entered the league, he just doesn't intercept balls. There's a reason guys that can't catch become defensive backs, and he's the poster child for that. Look, you know, these guys are playing the New York Jets in 2 weeks. Geno Smith has been giving the ball to the opponent at an alarming rate. I think he's averaging about 2 to 3 picks a game. If this team can't get a turnover off Geno Smith, then I think we should all just lock ourselves in a padded room, because I don't know what else we can do at that point. The ball is just not bouncing our way. As you guys pointed out, there was the fumble yesterday that rolled right through 2 or 3 of our own guys, and we couldn't get it. And what happens? They get a first down out of it on a third down. You know, 2 interceptions that Ike should have had. You know, Troy's had a couple plays where he's been right there. You know, I mean, what is it going to take? You know, do we need to sell our soul to the devil to get a few turnovers? If that's the case, then count me in. I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, it's almost inexplicable.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Now, let's try and get to a couple of positives here a little bit. I mean, there were a couple of good things yesterday. You know, as you guys mentioned, obviously the offense moved the ball, so that was, you know, obviously when Ben was, of course, calling the plays is when they made most of their yardage. But Le'Veon Bell made his debut, ran for 57 yards on 16 carries and had a couple of touchdowns. Antonio Brown, as reliable as ever, 12 catches, 88 yards. Cotre was the leading receiver with 5 for 103. Heath Miller racked up 70 yards. So, you know, some of the talent is stepping up here. But, Dom, I'll tell you, I think, is Le'Veon Bell the guy that you feed the ball to 25 times a game if you want to run the ball?
Yes, out of all the options, he's the best running back on the roster by a mile. In fact, what he showed yesterday makes me wonder why Dwyer and Redmond and all them are even on here, other than just depth for emergency situations. I would be leaving Bell in there unless you have an issue with how he's run blocking. And somebody said he had kind of ran away from an assignment on that one. That would be the only thing at this point that I'd be a little bit leery of. And see, that falls back to offensive talent. It was like, maybe they should start looking to bring in fullback to help block here. You know, another running back that can maybe do some misdirection plays or something like that. An actual blocker as opposed to these tight ends to just stand there looking pretty. But, you know, that's the main thing. I would be going with Bell right now. Obviously, that's why you spent the draft pick that you did on him. He's got the speed to bust it to the outside, to maybe avoid this pass rush that's coming in like gangbusters. And just the way he got to the outside so fast on that first touchdown, made the dive, and I was just finally like, hey, we've got a playmaker, you know, in that backfield, as opposed to guys that just keep fumbling it all the time. Redmond shouldn't play another down for this team. He wasn't active yesterday. I don't think he should dress for the rest of the time. You know, if you're going to bring someone else, bring in another running back off the street at this point, because Redmond's done. He's useless on this team.
So, Mark, what as we start to wind down the show a little bit here, and I want to make sure I get to LC for a couple of minutes, but what do you expect out of this team in the next couple of games following the bye? I know you mentioned that Geno Smith is a turnover machine, so the defense, if there's a time for them to rectify their issues or right the ship or whatever, this would be the game for it. But, I mean, you know, the Jets are playing with some confidence now, too. So what do you expect out of this team realistically over the next couple of weeks after the bye?
Well, you know, I think if I think with my heart, my black and gold heart, I'm going to expect that this team is going to have had some serious practices, some serious lessons learned over this week and next before the Jets. But, you know, after that, they get Baltimore coming in, and Baltimore by no stretch is a world beater. I mean, Joe Flacco threw 5 picks yesterday against Buffalo. And then we have the always difficult trip to Oakland against an Oakland team that's not very good either. Is it impossible that this team could be 3-4 after that? No, not at all. But we're going to need to see a hell of a lot more to really want to believe that. You know, because right now my brain is telling me this is a team that's fractured. It's a team that's got veterans on one side, young guys on the other. It's got a quarterback that is a tremendous playmaker, but I don't really think he understands his role anymore, because they're telling him to hand off when he should be throwing it, and vice versa. So I just think that this thing is just going to continue to spiral. I'm very curious if Tomlin does his press conference tomorrow. I'm not sure if he will with the bye week, but just to see if he's relaxed at all or if we get the fire and brimstone like we got for 2 minutes yesterday following the game. But I just think there's too many problems right now, and I don't see this going very well going forward.
Well, I mean, looking at the bye week situation, the Jets are the type of team the Steelers should be able to beat. Even though they're sitting there at 2-2, they beat Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's winless. They suck. They're absolutely garbage. And they beat Buffalo. I'm not exactly too sold on that. They barely lost to New England, who a lot of people were wondering whether they're actually going to be a talented team this year. And they got crushed by Tennessee, who's looking very much for real. You got a rookie quarterback, and that's typically in the past who the type of player that Dick LeBeau's defenses have thrived against. Like you said, he's a turnover machine right now. Now, this is a team that's down to Bilal Powell as their running back. It's not exactly like they're facing Adrian Peterson or Chris Johnson. If you can't stop the run when, you know, Chris Ivory or Bilal Powell is trying to run it on you, then you can't stop the run, period. And this is a team that this is what the Steelers have to get off the schneid. They have to get a win against the Jets, because if you lose to the Jets, then you've got some major problems. Who knows when you might get your next win in terms of that. The only thing I don't like about the matchup is I really think the Jets got a great defense. And the way the Steelers have been playing on offense, that's going to be an issue, especially with the way the Steelers have been turning the ball over in there. This is a defense that knows how to force fumbles, knows how to get some interceptions in there. And the Steelers are really going to have to protect the ball well. They're going to have to find a way to slow down that defense. You know, but in that situation, I've still got to like Ben Roethlisberger over Geno Smith. But then again, I like Roethlisberger over Castle yesterday.
Yeah, I think we both did. And I think you guys summed up pretty much my thoughts exactly on this. I mean, the way that the Jets defense is playing and the way our offense is going, I mean, we could end up, you know, with like a 3-0 game and, you know, we come out on the short end of the stick. So I'm, you know, as a Steeler fan, you know, my heart absolutely says, you know, they're going to find a way to turn this around. Steeler pride is going to come through, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, my mind says, look at this team right now, and there is so much dysfunction and a lack of confidence and guys just not making plays because, you know, for a variety of reasons that I'm not confident when they're going to win their next game. And I don't think that this team, regardless of how many wins they get this year, it's not an easy fix, and it's going to take a long time to rebuild this team and replenish the talent, assuming that they actually hit on enough draft picks to do so. But before we wind up, just a somber note, of course, the Steeler Nation mourning the loss of one of the great members of the Steel Curtain, the front four, Elsie Greenwood, passed away at the age of 67, I believe of just natural causes, right, Mark?
Yeah,
they said
that's the word, yeah. And
kidney failure or something.
Is that what it was? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, obviously they say it's natural causes. It isn't like he was, you know, had a stroke or a murder, right, or anything like that. But, you know, a lot of these players, they're dying young. And, you know, it's a shame when you hear something like this, because I really wanted to see him in the Hall of Fame, and I really wanted to see him get in there while he was still alive. And the fact that many people say they don't put another Steeler in because we've got too many Steelers in the Hall of Fame is total crap. If a player belongs in there, they belong in there. If you're going to put players in there that use steroids or cheat, then you need to put the truly greats in there. And Greenwood was a great guy off the field as well, a major part of a major dynasty in NFL history. And the fact that he's not in the Hall of Fame is a damn shame. And that's compounded by the fact that he's died before he ever got to make that acceptance speech. That's truly sad. That's a tragedy, in my opinion.
I totally agree with you. And obviously, you know, you remember just the big, tall guy and could absolutely consume quarterbacks, and of course with the gold shoes and everything else. I mean, it's just stunning to think that just Mean Joe Green is left from that front four of the Steel Curtain. And you're right though, Dom. He belongs in the Hall of Fame, and the fact that he's gone now is just tremendously sad, because now they'll probably put him in posthumously.
Yeah, you're right, and it obviously is a travesty. You know, that's why, you know, the NFL Hall of Fame just drives me bananas, because, you know, it's just like so many other things. Well, we can't have too many of one team. I mean, the Steelers dynasty of the 70s was the greatest dynasty era team in NFL history. I don't care what anybody says. You know, all the Super Bowls, all the Hall of Fame players, all the wonderful guys and that made NFL history for so many reasons. And, you know, of course, now with Mean Joe being the only guy left, you know, it's just sad to see that, you know, that LC wasn't around to actually get to see himself hopefully get into the Hall of Fame. But with that, we will start to wrap this up. Dom, thank you very much for joining us, dude. It's always a pleasure, man.
Hey, let's do this again sometime soon, or make it a full-time gig. I love talking football with you guys, and if you want a third person, just let me know.
Hey, we are all for that. We always enjoy having you. Of course, check Dom out at Steel City Voice. You can hear him covering the Pittsburgh Power and maybe the Pens sometime soon. We'll have to see.
That's what we're hoping. With the,
right on. So let's wrap this up and get on out of here. So thanks, everyone, for listening to The Blitz, presented by SteelCityBlitz.com. Thanks for listening to The Blitz, a Pittsburgh Steelers fan podcast presented by SteelCityBlitz.com. Be sure and follow Mark on Twitter at SteelDad and Matt at Retro Rock City. If you'd like to be on the show or submit a question for us to discuss, just drop us a line on the website, www.steelcityblitz.com, and use the Contact Us link on the top right of the page, or you can just drop us a tweet. Steel City Blitz is an independent fan site not affiliated with the Pittsburgh Steelers or the National Football League. Our opinions are our own.